Bibles, if you will, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. I brought my notes tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. Anybody need a worksheet that did not receive a worksheet? Slip your hand up, please. A few down front, one here in the middle, a couple in the middle here. Oh, a whole bunch of them over that way, John. I hope I have enough. I think I have enough. Appreciate you coming, and appreciate you being here for the meeting this evening. You okay? We got one in the middle here. You got one down this way? Down front, right? Here we go. All right, a few back there. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. I'm going to pray first, give a little introduction, then we're going to walk through the scripture rather than, I want to try to keep this as, expedite this as much as we can, but we're going to go through the scripture, but rather than doing it twice, we'll, because you know how it is, I read the scripture and I got to preach as we go, and then I'll end up preaching it twice. So I'll just pray first. How about it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for this, these dear folks. Appreciate the time we have here together this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the church you have given us here. And Lord, you know, people do come and they go and we understand those things. And sometimes they move away and other things. And we understand those things. But yet, Lord, you have just been consistent and faithful. And our folks have been faithful. And we've seen you do great things over the last 12 years. And Lord, part of that is that we have to learn to live like you want us to live, to be what you want us to be, to look at life the way you want us to look at life, look at others the way you look at others. And Lord, we need to just allow ourselves to be Christians, Christ's, of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Pray that your Holy Spirit will move this evening as we talk about resisting the devil. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in a great way and help us to stand, having done all, to stand. We give you the service and all the praise. We ask in Christ's name, amen. We've spent many messages and some months going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The church in Ephesus consisted of people from many walks of life, Jews and Gentiles from many nations. And from that vast array of people and cultures, God wanted to make a unified church. Now the fact is, there's a certain culture about York County. You notice that? York County is York County. Where I came from is a little different. There's different cultures. And the fact is, we're not careful. We will get at each other's throats over cultural things, not necessarily doctrinal things. And we've got to be careful. Well, they're not like us. In fact, it could almost be like racism. Well, they're not like me. Oh, I don't know who they are. We're scared of them because they're not like us. It's crazy stuff. And so we've got to be careful. And so God wants to take people from all over the world, wherever they may be, and bring them together under one roof as one body. And we are the same body, one salvation, one baptism, one Lord over all. And so we're all part of the same family. Now, how were these people from all these different churches going to be able to get along when they had such diverse backgrounds? They were all just sinners saved by grace, but they were still sinners. Sinners are selfish. Sinners are self-absorbed. Sinners get offended. Sinners get jealous. Sinners can become angry and vindictive. Sinners have active pride, and pride brings contention. Sinners are opinionated. You know how it is? Everybody else is opinionated, but I'm right. You know, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. Some are a little longer than others, a little bigger than others, a little more annoying than others, but we all have opinions. Often our concept of truth is however we think. We become the standard for truth. It's how we think things should be. We could even have conflicts over insignificant, temporal, circumstantial, peripheral issues upon which we have placed eternal weight. We get ready to build a building. There's possible for somebody to say, well, you can't believe you're going to put that kind of floor in there. That's never going to work. No one's going to be able. Listen, we're not going to be able to do the work of God with that kind of floor. It sounds silly. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Customs, habits can often take the position of doctrine. Before long, we're arguing and fussing over preferences and procedures and causing problems and confusion. Now, if you're like this, I hope I'm not trying to be mean here, but I've had folks in this area tell me that it's very disrespectful that we have a handshaking time beginning the service like we do. It's just chaos. And God's not a God of confusion. And it's chaos. Well, I don't know about you. I'm so busy. This is honest goodness truth. I'm so busy before and after the service and this and that. But be honest with you, and that's why it takes me so long to get back up here in the middle. Some of you say, well, are we going to sing this song and move on to the second song? We're going to sing an handshake for the next 2 hours. And the fact is, I'm kind of working my way around when I shake hands, and I hate to walk past somebody and I shake their hands. But the fact is, I like to have a chance to meet people, to talk to them, at least say howdy, you know. And so it's funny how it can be. You know, there's some who say, well, you know, those they think, well, this is the sanctuary, and we should say little or nothing, just go through the process of ceremony and go home. And yet in the early church, they often greeted one another with a holy kiss. I'm not going there. You know, but I can howdy a little bit. But we got to make sure that cultural difference we're not permitted to become positions of doctrine. People leave churches, and churches split over such things as while the world dies and goes to hell. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? Walk as man. And while one saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Getting on a bunch of stuff we don't need to get onto. Now we need to realize what our real job is. And as the church is to strive to fulfill, we should strive to fulfill that position. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we've talked about, we're one body, one spirit. Now, our adversary, the devil, wants to eat us up. Really, what he wants is for us to eat one another up. He knows that if he can stir up our natural sinfulness, he can destroy the work of God that we are called to do. Listen, how many, and I'm not making judgmental marks here, honestly, I do, but we've seen it for years. How many little dead churches are all over the world, all over the country, little dead churches doing nothing? And they're sitting there and they're fighting over some little thing that's not going to matter for a hill of beans. We've been in heaven for 30 seconds. And meantime, well, bless God, it's the truth. I'm standing on principle. Well, throw your principle out and go back to doctrine. Yes, we're saved. And out of pride, we think we should be able to do as we please. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, but ye use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. So God gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud, right? So he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Old Satan has a sneaky way of hanging around us and doing whatever he can to get us to fight one another and destroy our testimony and help us to become divided, and a house divided will fall. So only by pride cometh contention. Back in Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now watch this. This is how Satan gets us to destroy one another. In Galatians 5 here, by appealing to our flesh, by trusting in ourselves to provide all our needs, and not yielding to the Spirit of God. He said the works of flesh is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if Satan can get these things stirred up in us, he can soon convince us to devour one another, and he wins, and we lose. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. You know, the flesh can't rise up if we're dead to it. We've crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts, the whole caboodle of that stuff. And if we live in the Spirit, he says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So Satan was defeated on the cross. The devil cannot hurt us any more than God is willing to allow. But on the other hand, God will allow that which he hates in order to get that which he loves. So sometimes he uses it. He takes us through the refining fire. So how does Satan defeat us? By convincing us to defeat one another. Now, on your paper here tonight, you just so that a couple weeks ago, we talked about the victories in the surrender. Here's the verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, his ability, his forcefulness. Strong in the Lord. Number two, we found we needed to dress for victory. He said to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the trickery of the devil. That wiles also has the idea, remember that, to accompany us. He just hangs around. He's like a parasite. He just hangs on us and follows us around, and nips at our feet all day long, day after day. That's the wiles of the devil. He's not going to come and do something big. He's going to whisper in your ear and tell you that, oh, that person over there hates you. That person over there doesn't like you. You shouldn't let them get away with that. And he's going to get us back and forth and back and forth. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to dress for the victory so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Number three, we need to recognize the enemy. Remember that the enemy is the devil and not that person that you're frustrated with. That's not the enemy. The enemy is our adversary, is the old devil himself who's pushing this person into this person into this person to come around. Finally, they come around and pushes you. And you push back and they push back and they push back and they push. You know, it's just crazy stuff. We've kind of walked our way through that. In fact, Satan distracts our attention from him by using others as his camouflage. So we fight each other. You follow what I'm saying? You got good? You nod your head, we'll move on. Okay, all right. Now, then last week we found out that we needed to resist the enemy. We needed to resist the enemy. That's the old devil. Verse 13 says, wherefore? Because of all this. Oh, by the way, let me go back and read 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, right? Verse 12. Rulers of darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because of that, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you, receive, seize, grab it. Take on the whole armor of God. Not bits and pieces, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. To stand in opposition to, as we had Brandon doing, get in there in shortstop position. Sometimes we just kind of go through life, just think, well, I can handle it. There's been a couple times when I've been out in the weather, and the weather came through, and I got out of the car, and the wind actually kind of blew me off balance. Now, I got a bigger sail than some others, but it grabbed a hold of me and blew me off balance. The wind can do that. But once you realize what the wind's doing, you can go on against it. But you've got to make sure, you've got to decide, I'm going to go against the current here. We got to resist the devil. And then it says, having done all, just like the whole armor of God, having done all, to work fully, to finish, to stand. If we want to stand, we need to do it all. So when you're being a fanatic, you're pushing too much. Why do we have to do all this stuff? Can't we just kind of pick and choose? I'm pretty good here, Brad. So I really only need to take this off the shelf and this off the shelf, and I'll be just fine. No, he says, having done all. Right now, you might not need it right now, but the fact is you may come around a corner and the wind's going to blow. When I was out to House Anderson, we would go soul winning in Chicago. And I'll tell you once, it's called the Windy City for a reason. And sometimes you walk around a corner and you didn't realize it because you were down this alleyway here and everything was fine. And you walk around a corner and woof! And the same thing happens in our life. We think we're doing just fine. We're walking around. We don't have all the armor on because we're not going to need it today. It's not going to rain. Wind's not going to do it. We'll be just fine. And walk around the corner and all of a sudden something hits you comes out of nowhere you never thought was going to happen. We need to wear the whole armor of God so that we're able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. So we are not to be going along with the work of the devil. We're going to be going along with the work of the Lord. We kind of spent our time there last week. Number two, we need to do all. We need to do all. To not do all is to leave some things out. You didn't have that one last week, right? If we leave some things out, we must think that some things are unneeded. To miss some of the armor is to leave gaps in our defense. Number three, if we resist the devil, he will flee. James 4 tells us, says, submit, subordinate, obey yourselves, to submit yourselves therefore to God. Obey God. This, I can't tell you how many times. It's simply, the truth is, just do right. Just do what God told you to do. Yeah, but do what God told you to do. Well, I seem like a little overkill right now. You don't know what's coming on around the corner. Do what you were told. See, well, what if you go through the whole day and it was overkill? Praise the Lord. What if you go through the day and it wasn't overkill? You needed it. Praise the Lord. Why do we take chances with these things? We need to do all. To miss some of the armors and leave gaps is to say we don't need them. Number three, if we resist the devil, he will flee. So submit to him. He will resist the devil and he will flee. He will try to escape you. He will try to escape you. Number four, again, we had these last week. We resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5, 9 says, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Unmovable. Decide you're not going to move. Now, you're not fighting him. You're not moving from the principles and the doctrine and the truths of God. That's what we're not moving from. Listen, it's not about saying, okay, I'm going to resist you, devil. Here I come. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm going to stand on the promises. I'm going to stand. My focus is not on the devil. My focus is on the promises. That's what I'm standing on. Now, if I stand on the promises, the devil can have his way. By the way, after a while, he's going to get tired and walk away. He's not. Listen, if he can't get any headway with you, now he'll come back. He did that to Jesus. He'll come back. But our standing is to be in him, unmovable. Number five, new material. We are steadfast in the faith when we simply, this sounds kind of sound funny, stand in the faith. We are steadfast in the faith when we simply stand in the faith. He's not talking about standing against the devil. He's a defeated foe. Don't you worry about old Slewfoot. God, listen, he cannot move any further than God will allow him. Now, sometimes God does. Kind of like this morning's message. Sometimes God lets us go into some hard issues, some hard times. To teach us. To come out the other side as refined gold. Not to defeat us. Not to kill us. He's not there to knock you off your feet. He's there to show you that when you stand on the promises, it's like you're glued down, you're on the rock, the winds can come, the floods come, and you can still stand. Why? Because your faith is in him. Standing steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5, 9 says. Unmovable, steadfast in the faith. So number five there, stand in the faith. Stand, that word means abide, appoint, continue, to have a covenant. God, what's that about? It means God's got some promises for you. He made a deal. And if we'll follow him standing on the promises, he'll keep his end of the deal. He'll establish. He'll hold us up. He'll present us. Here's the word you're looking for. To be staunch. To be staunch. Stand by. Stand for. Stand still. Stand up. Folks, we need to do something with the lives that God has given us to live. We need to make some decisions and then do it. Don't just live your life bouncing around in reaction to the events and the impact on your life. Stand. Stand on what? The promises of God. Staunch. Listen, it's okay to be narrow-minded. If God says yes, then it's yes. God says no, then it's no. If salvation is by grace through faith through Jesus Christ, then that's what it is. Salvation through grace through faith through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Why do we get off here and there and fight each other over stuff that doesn't matter? The fact is, we got the Word of God. Stand in faith. He said to do it. Let's do it. Number six. We didn't give this. I started to give this one to you last week. I didn't know what it was. Stand for something. Stand for something. The old saying, if we don't stand for something, we'll probably fall for just about anything. You know what a lot of Christians, they don't know where to stand. They just say, well, I'll just pick a good spot here and I'll start standing. No. Where do you learn to stand? It's in the book. It's in the book. Stand where the Bible says it. There's certain things. This is the way it works. This is where it is. We've said things after thing after thing. Stand in faith. Steadfast in the faith. Know where you stand and then stand there. Well, you know, they're starting to make a pretty good argument about evolution. No, they've just been making a long argument. Read the book. It doesn't. Well, this Christian's, I don't care. He's been pulled off place too. Read the book. This could be a good man who has some things kind of wishy-washy. I talked to a preacher in this area, and he said, I heard that you have creationism, a literally 6-day creation in your constitution. I said, yeah. They wouldn't let me do that at my church. Oh, that would never go through. What are we standing on? What are we standing on? Stand for something. Too many people just meander through life with no direction. Well, you know what Oprah said. And the girls on The View, well, you know. So, stop listening to the girls. Too many people will live and die and have not accomplished much of anything for eternity and for the souls of men and women and boys and girls because they simply never decided to stand for the things of God. If we're not careful, their own kids will not make it into heaven because we didn't stand for God. We were too worldly, too busy trying to be friends instead of parents. Some people think that Christians are to be nice, and so Christians should never stand contrary to anything because then you're being uncooperative. You might make somebody feel bad, and they think making someone feel bad is unkind, and thus it's unchristian. Well, Satan wants us to think that because then we are out of his way. A wishy-washy Christian's all wet. Not going to get anything. Number seven, allow God to show you where to stand. We kind of did a little bit of this last time. We'll spend a lot of time. Allow God to show you where to stand. Let God give you a vision. In that passage in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So what is it that they need to see? Look what it says. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, that's not a vision. That's rules. That's a vision. That's a word from God. Hang on to the word from God. If he says no, it still means no. Why are we fighting him? Listen, people go through their lives and die, think they had it all figured out, and never did get anywhere. They run on a treadmill, go through their life, just going through, just doing their stuff. Well, everybody else was going that way. Well, sure, because the broad way leads to destruction, and many there are that go in there at. It's a whole bunch of them going that way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You're telling me that this is right and the rest of them are wrong? That's what I'm saying. The book's right. Not me. The book is right. Amen. So allow God to give you that vision. Find God's vision for your life and then live by it. Well, how do you do that? Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've, you know, I've everything I am, everything I've got, everything I want to be, I'm yours. Now, fact is, he's not going to just, you're going to say yours, and he goes, bang, put it in your heart. Probably not. You know why? Because he wants to show you whether you really mean it's his or not. It's all mine. You're all mine, right? Okay, let's see. So what's he have to do? He's trying to say, well, I could have been yours if you hadn't done so and so and so and so. Well, then you weren't mine. If you're saying I'm yours as long as it goes according to my plan, then you're not his. A living sacrifice. It looks good, but then when church is over, we crawl off the altar and go home. Stay on the altar. Listen. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's what you're saying. I would suggest that you get alone with God and His Word and find out what God really wants you to do. You got 70 years, 70 years. If by strength you have 80, that's good. Some of us get a little bit more than that. But the fact is, we got our days, and they're numbered. We need to redeem the time, because the days are evil. We got a lot of stuff to do in this evil time. Don't just live for the weekend. Some folks just live to get to the next meal. Get a glimpse of what God wants you to do and do it. I was talking to someone this week. Sometimes you think, well, you know what? This is all we do. I mean, that's what we do here. That's what our family's always done. We do this. We get a job and we mow the lawn and we watch TV and drink beer. Don't you want to have done something with your life when you're all said and done? Well, God can't use me. Our family just is not like that. We'll let Him change it. Now, you don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do what somebody else does. You're supposed to do what He wants you to do. And when it's all said and done, if you have lived in a way that brings glory to God, you fulfilled your purpose on this earth. And when it's all said and done, you can stand before God and say, and He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful. Listen, you might have to study the Word or serve in a ministry as a helper right now. But allow God to direct you and train you and mold you into the man, the woman He wants you to be, and then be willing to listen as He leads you and opens up the doors in your life. Someone or something is leading you. You had better make sure it's the law of God that's giving you your vision. Acts 9:1, Saul said he on the road to Damascus, and he got off the horse there, he got knocked off the horse, and what did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he says, kind of hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? He says, I've been poking at you for years, Paul, and I just knocked you off your horse, knocked you off your high horse. And finally Paul says, all right, Lord, what would you have me to do? He says, got your attention now, huh? You know what? You say, well, I guess when you come to that point, you'll learn how to do that. Why wait till He knocks you off? Why do we have to wait for Him to get a 2x4 and put it upside our head before we listen to Him? Why don't we do what it says in Romans? Present ourselves a living sacrifice. Holy. Set apart to Him. Some people think it's nice to stand your ground. It's nice. And somebody says, well, you know, it's not nice to stand your ground. Someone might not like it. I'll guarantee you somebody's not going to like it. Now, you don't have to be mean when you stand, but stand. Let me save you the headache and the heartache. There's always going to be someone that doesn't like you. There's always going to be someone who doesn't like you. So stand where God stands and let the world fight with Him and not you. Number 8. Watch this. Standing is not sitting. Standing is not sitting. Standing is active. Active is your word, not inactive. Standing is not passive. Even though we may say, what I'm doing is standing, it's not standing on the corner watching all the girls go. That's not what I'm talking about. It's I'm going to stand. You're not pushing me off of this spot because I need to stand where God wants me to stand. You may try to talk me off this spot. I'm not moving. I'm going to stand where God wants me to stand. Well, you're just kind of being a little bit obstinate about it, aren't you? No, you're the one being obstinate. I'm standing here. You stand where you want to stand. I'm standing here. Let me alone. Well, you're being kind of mean and not very, very. That's very, very nice of you. I just asked you to come along with me. Well, fine. Why don't you come along with me? Well, you're so opinionated. Huh? So are they. You know what? If you get in trouble with somebody because you're opinionated, that means they're opinionated. It takes two to tango here. It takes two to get in trouble. Huh? Therefore, in 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are to be planted, unable to be moved off our position, and yet always abounding in the work of the Lord, excelling, increasing in abundance to the work of the Lord. We are never going to get anywhere in our Christian lives and in the work of God unless we are willing to stand. That sounds funny, but if you want to go somewhere in your Christian life, stand. God may pick you up and have you stand over here. He may pick you up and have you stand over there. But we need to stand, be unmovable on the truths of God. Letter B, standing is not running out of control.
Well, I took my stand, and I let them have it. I told them, I gave them a piece of my mind.
There are some people who's given too many pieces away. Not running ahead of God or being presumptuous. I'm not talking about that. Standing is not being tossed about by every wind. Standing is not attacking or hurting others. Standing is settling on something and making the decision to stay there. Know the book and then stand on the promises. Number nine, stand against sin. Stand against sin. Ephesians 6:10 tells us this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Stand against sin. Make sure you're standing on the right side. Stand on the right side of the issue. I know some folks, well, I want to be the right. I'm not a left. I'm not on the left. He's on political. I'm not left. In fact, I'm so right-handed, I don't even make left-hand turns. I'll make four right-hand turns before I'll do that. Listen, letter B, stand against wickedness. Stand against wickedness. The wiles of the devil, the trickery of the liar. We are able to stand against the tricks of liars only in the proportion that we know truth. Let me say that again. We are able to stand against the tricks of liars only in the proportion to which we know truth. You're never going to be able, I don't think it's even on your paper there. That's a good little quote there. You're not going to be able to stand on truth. You're not going to be able to stand against liars until you know the truth. It's too easy for us to be pulled off. We're either standing with God or we're standing against God. John 18:18 says, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals. This is Peter, the denial of Peter. For it was cold and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. That's the same word I've been talking about for standing. Peter stood in the wrong place. He stood with the ones who were against Christ. Proverbs tells, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Letter C, withstand in the evil day, it says. Having done all to withstand, that means the hurtful times. The hurtful times. To stand against, to oppose, or resist. When bad days come and it seems difficult to stand, God's promises have not changed. His word is settled forever in heaven. I esteem all thy truths. So where, listen, stand. It's easy to stand when things go easy. We know where you stand when things are bad. When things are going rough, when people give you a hard time, when the family says you're crazy for going to church so much, you stand. Then we know it's real. If you only stand, you say, well, I kind of let that up because... Now, you don't have to go around and say, well, I'm not going to stand. You're not going to... You're fighting the flesh and blood. You don't need to fight them. Grievous words stir up anger. So wait a minute, that's not where God... Moving over there and getting nose to nose with people and telling them off. That's not where Christ stands. He's not standing there in that mess. He's standing on truth. Just stand on truth. Number 10, stand for God. Stand against wickedness. Stand for God. Decide whether God is right or not. You know, we've heard this so many times. Have you done that yet? Decide whether God is right or not. Settle this in your heart and then stand there. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yet God, let God be true, but every man a liar. Well, this guy sounds really smart. Well, does it go along with God? Well, no. But it doesn't go along with God, so it's not. So the guy's not a liar. Maybe he's not on purpose, but maybe he's believing a lie. And very sincere and a good guy. But we don't need to go there. If this is where the Bible says to stand, that's where we stand. Psalm 119, 128. Therefore, I started to quote this. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate or disesteem, make light of, every false way. You know what that means? That means whatever goes against the word of God is wrong, whether it may appear to be right at the moment or not. Well, I don't understand. I know, but this is what the Bible says. This is where I got to go. Can you imagine? Listen, they didn't. When Jesus rose again, they were still surprised. They'll go back and read the Gospels. He told them that. He told them that several times. I'm going to go down. They're going to abuse me. They're going to crucify me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. He told them that. And still it says, they didn't understand until after the resurrection. Can you imagine saying, well, he said he's going to rise again. Oh, come on. There must have been some metaphor for something. It was figurative speech. That's not what he meant, was it? Well, that's what he said. He was going to rise again. Stand for God. Number 11, stand in God. Stand in God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We stand in Him. Strong, empowered, enabled, with the power of His might, with the vigor of God's abilities. We need to put on God if we expect to be able to stand. Stand in God. When we put on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, have our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit in our hand, putting on the whole armor of God, and then praying. You're taking the whole armor of God. So, okay, now, Lord, empower this. Lord, live through this. Put the whole thing on with Him. Stand in Him. We need to put on God if we expect to be able to stand. How do we put in? How do we stand in God? Letter B, stand on truth. Stand on truth. I quoted this a little bit ago, Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. John 17:17, the prayer of Christ. This is really the Lord's high priestly prayer right before He gets crucified. He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Well, what's truth? Thy word is truth. This is truth. Stand in the Lord. Stand in truth. Letter C, stand on the promises. Standing on the promises. 2 Peter, first one, chapter 1, verse 16. I don't know whether I gave that to you. Did you get that one? I just gave you the reference, didn't I? It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto light that shineth in a darkest place, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have a more sure word of truth. Stand in the word of God. Listen, there are good Christians who are trying to cast doubt on the Word of God by giving us, I don't beat this up a lot, but the fact is it's still the truth. We have all these little translations and they're all different. And after a while, listen, I'll be honest, this is honest, good as truth. I came to the point when Janet first got saved, she started studying, and she's been such a student. She's always such a student. In fact, when she decided to work on her doctorate, I'd already started. She was passing me. I had to work real hard so I got my doctorate before she did. But you know how pride is. But anyway, she started studying, and she started studying. Well, I've been a Christian for years. But all I knew, I was saved. That's about all I knew. And she gets in here and starts studying. And she's listening to this and that. And so we not being real wise with all this, and she had grown up Catholic, I grew up Methodist, and they don't have a lot of problem with different translations. So we bought ourselves a interlinear Bible. It had the King James, the NIV, and then the Greek. But of course, you know what Greek manuscript they used? The one that matched the NIV. And there's only a few of those when there's 5,000 manuscripts in extent back that to support the KJV, the Textus Receptus. And so I've always used the King James. I grew up with that. And so I'm reading the Bible trying to understand it, thinking, well, the King James is hard to understand. Get a dictionary. Anyway, so we get on there, and I'm trying to read it, and I'm thinking, well, they don't say the same thing. Well, I wonder what the Greek says. So I look over in the Greek. Well, it agreed with NIV. I'll be honest with you. I came to a point there for two or three months. I closed that thing and I didn't really open it up unless we were going to church. Because I said, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Have I believed a lie all my life? Now I was saved. I wanted to know truth. But somebody out there is mixing up the waters, putting junk in that thing. They don't say the same thing. So which one's true? We got to stand on the promise. We got to stand on the truth. We need to stand in grace. Stand in His grace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. By whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand. Listen, we're standing in God. We're standing in the armor. We're standing on the promises. We're standing in grace. God's grace is what's going to get us through. It's not our determination. It's not our fortitude. Our fortitude and our determination is to be determined to stand where He wants me to stand. I don't fight about the ones who are fighting and pushing me off. That's not my fight. The fight is in here. I am not going to let anybody move me from where I'm supposed to stand in the Word of God and the stand of truth. Well, say, you don't even understand it all. That doesn't matter. I will. There's a lot of things I didn't understand when I first got saved. There's a lot of things I've learned. Oh, you know what? Turns out it's right. You just read the book long enough, you'll find out it's right. Grace is that undeserved bestowment from God. Listen, it may be wisdom, it may be ability, it may be protection, it may be guidance. Just seek God's work in your life. Listen, by the grace of God, we can stand steadfast in the faith by putting on the whole armor of God. And when we resist the devil by having on the whole armor of God, the devil will flee because he knows he's helpless and defeated when we are suited up in the armor of God. The devil is wasting his time on us. And he'll come back again when he thinks we've allowed some of our armor to slip off. When we've left some of the armor at home because we think we don't need it or it's too heavy to carry around. It's a burden. You know, like the breastplate of, we'll get to this in a few weeks here, the breastplate of righteousness. All that separation, rules and regulations. And you know, it's just a little heavy. You take the breastplate of righteousness, you're opening you up to a lot of problems, a lot of wounds. What are you wearing when you face the world and the wiles of the devil? If you're going out in nothing but your flesh, your birthday suit, no wonder you're scared. You don't go to battle in your blue jeans and a t-shirt when they're coming at you with swords and spears. If you're going out with nothing but your flesh, you're going to be scared. You ought to be scared. I think there's people who are sitting in psych wards, I do, who are scared of life. And I've met some of them. I think the fact is they are actually seeing life for what it is. But they're facing it all alone. And they're scared to death. Some of us face life. We think we have the armor on. All we have simply done was put blinders on so we can't see it. So we're not scared. It doesn't change the fact that everything around us can be a real problem. We just have our blinders on. Ignorance is bliss sometimes. To not be scared is to be deluded, to be honest with you. If you're facing the world without him, without your armor on, to not be scared is really kind of stupid. I'm sorry. We have the adversary, the devil, who walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to me. If a lion got out of the zoo in Baltimore and showed up coming down the aisle of our church, I'll guarantee you, most of you get up. Quick. And make your way to the nearest exit. We say, well, maybe he's friendly. You're probably not going to stop and find out. Are you friendly? Yeah, I think so. There, yeah, okay, yeah. To leave part of your armor home is also stupid. Well, I don't need this today. You know what it means? It means you think you can handle that part of the battle all by yourself without having to be in God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, I want our folks to be ready and prepared, not to fight everybody that's coming down the pike here, but to stand, to fight our own desires to step off the words of God, to fight our own desires to step away from the promises, to fight our own desires to try to handle it ourselves, to fight our own desires to put off the weight, thinking it's going to be easier all by ourselves. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts here. I pray that you'll help our folks understand the need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to know we're saved. Put on the helmet of salvation. We need to live righteously with the breastplate of righteousness. We need to, by all means, put up that shield of faith, to walk by faith, to just or live by faith. We're saved. We need the faith to walk day by day, too. And to slice up all those who are attacking by knowing the word of God, it puts in shreds all the wisdom of man. And then to go one step further, to put on those shoes, the feet shod with the gospel of peace, and give others the gospel and lead them to Christ. Lord, help us to stand or speak to our heart. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand. Would you